flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast. Whisakisa. It's her and her friends. And they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between, welcome to a brand new episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. My name, as always, is Sakisa, the head of the table. And this week, I am joined by main event Mark Cram.
It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure for you to have me.
You're such a dick.
I mean, how many episodes of this have I done now?
And
at no point do you ever seem not surprised that I'm a dick.
And you
book me. I don't know who you're blaming.
I've known you for so many years. And yeah. I've got a hope that you will be a kinder version of yourself.
You have to earn my respect, Sakisa.
Wow, I don't have your respect as a woman in comedy.
What? you've jumped for a couple of hoops there that I definitely didn't say. I suppose you didn't go black woman in comedy. Really fucking dig it into me there.
We do have an empty seat here, and that's because one of the fluffy boys, you can guess, I'll let you guess which one, is meant to be here. Let's see if he turns up halfway through this podcast. You can take a guess which one it is. One half of the fluffy boys is meant to join us on the podcast. But we're going to kick off. Obviously, we've had more wrestling. We're leading up into two main events. We've got AEW's Full Gear. Full Gear. Mm-hmm. And we have got WWE's Survivor Series War Games coming up. We're going to start off with some highlights and lowlights. So we might as well do that. What's your lowlights? Let's start with a highlight. Let's go positive for the podcast.
Highlight? I don't know. I'm really into the, I'm going to go with an unexpected highlight, because I've never enjoyed anything they've ever done since they formed this faction, but I actually quite enjoyed what's happening with the Final Testament at the moment. I think they've actually stumbled into a good angle. You know why? Because they've added The Miz to an angle, and The Miz just makes everything better by being involved. Mm-hmm. And the Wyatts are actually pretty interesting right now. I love a bit of faction warfare. For Survivor Series as well, that's what it's all about, bit of faction warfare.
Do you think the Wyatt Six is being utilized to the best of their ability?
I think yes, because there's not a main eventer in the group.
Ooh, interesting.
There isn't, no. I mean, they're all solid hands, but there's no one in that group that's a star. So you just keep them as a group that are mugging people and doing the little revenge missions on whoever they're doing. And I like it at the moment. I think what they're doing is quite nice. I don't think it needs to be more than this. It's a nice, it won't last forever. Bo Dallas, regardless of what costume he's wearing, is not a fucking main event talent.
I actually don't quite like the costume.
The costume is stupid, yes, but they're stuck with it now.
Yeah,
and that's what. Oh, because I quite like the other costumes in the group. So
yeah,
I think Howdy's unlucky with his big old mask and beard thing.
This is the thing. Everyone else's costumes is actually quite on point. I love the fact that Nikki does come still full face, with the mask in the ring.
I did love in the standoff this week that they had her standing next to Rowan, so you just see how small she looks, because Rowan's a fucking tank. What's interesting is, does that mean Scarlett's going to be doing some physical stuff? Well,
she did throw Nikki off the apron.
Yeah, but can Scarlett take a bump? I don't know what Scarlett can do. I don't have any idea.
Well, she
hasn't
been in the ring before.
But has she had matches?
Yeah, she's had tag team matches with her husband.
She's certainly not done much, though.
She's not done much. I think, remember when she was in NXT the first time round, that how they were trying to build her up that she would be in the ring. I remember her talking about training, and then obviously they got cut from WWE, never obviously returned back, and then had some mixed tag team matches. I think she had two, and that's about all we've seen about her from the ring. It'd be intriguing to see her one-on-one with Nikki.
But yeah, and I hope they're building to, they're going to do a traditional Survivor Series match. The Survivor Series would be nice to see.
Well, speaking about Survivor Series, I'm going to say my low light. I'm going to go for a low light. Regarding Survivor Series, it seems to be that we're building up the women's War Games match and has just kind of flumped it all together. At the end of Raw, we did have the Tag Team Championship match with the two baddest women on the roster at the moment, Bianca and Jade, versus Raquel and Liv Morgan. Mm.
Good match as well, by the way. Enjoyed that.
I enjoyed the match, but there was a lot of interference. Nia Jax was on Raw as well as Tiffany. Naomi got involved, obviously supporting her friends.
Io Sky inexplicably turned up for reasons.
And this was the thing. Io Sky turned up.
So I guess she's the number one contender, but she has no skin in that game at all.
No.
But that's what you say. They're just telegraphing they're going to War Games. And it does feel... I get like they want because they're doing a men's war game match. They want to do a women's war game match, but they've not built one.
No,
and they're just throwing a bunch of random women in together and going, "Here you go, this is a war games match." If they were just doing like a Survivor Series style tag match, I'd be on board with that. But the war games needs to have like some oomph behind.
Yeah,
like,
some sort of reason, meaning.
Yeah, give us a fight that needs fight. Like last year, the women's one, you had the damage control stuff, and that actually lent itself to doing war games. It just feels a bit. Yeah, and why are you doing this?
I think last year's women's one also was quite similar, where it was just kind of like the women were put in.
Well, the other team was, but at least Damage Control were like a team.
Yeah.
And it made sense. Like, whereas this year, they're not even having all, like, just one of Damage Control.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the face team. And it all seems a bit weird.
It does. And also, I feel like it seems like they're going 5-on-5 as the traditional Survivor Series match into War Games, which means. So. It's currently Nia, Tiffany, Liv.
Candace?
No, Raquel. I'm assuming it's going to be Candace because another down this week, we have lost Indy.
Yeah, I feared for Indy as soon as Candace started piling around with Nia. Like, they were clearly building, and because Candace had a plot line and Indy was just sort of standing next to her.
Mm.
And yeah, so, and they're obviously filling the budget right now.
Mm.
And Baron Corbin went, a few others are going to go, I think, as well.
Do you think a few others?
There's still some people that are stealing a living.
Well, Apollo is...
Apollo Crews is still there.
Yeah, is another one I feared for. But on the other side, we'll get back to it in a second, but on the other side, we did have Bianca, Jade, Io, and Naomi. So who's going to be the fifth?
So we've got Io, Jade, Naomi. I mean, I assume it's going to be Bayley, no?
I assume it's going to be Bayley.
Just because they're not going to have Bayley not in it. She's still like, you're not going to bench Bayley when some of the people are in that. You're not going to bench arguably your best worker.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
I have seen the spoilers. It's not Bayley.
Is it not Bayley?
Not Bayley.
Then who the fuck is it?
I'm not saying because I don't want to. It's Goldberg. Goldberg coming back. This is a retirement match.
Who's next? Everyone's next.
Yeah.
Just spears nine women at least.
All the women. Yeah. But yeah, it just feels like they've just done it for the sake of it, and it doesn't feel like there's going to be an end out of it unless it's EO that pins Liv.
Yeah, but she's already number one contender. I get that if you're going to try to establish EO as number one contender, but she's already won a battle royal to be number one contender. It all seems just a bit muddled and confused. It's like you've built... Why have you bothered to determine a number one contender before Survivor Series if you're not going to have a title match at Survivor Series? It all just seems a bit... Why are you throwing all this into the same match? It just feels a bit... I'm not sure why they're doing anything like this, by the way. But yeah, another low light.
Low light for that. With releases, low light.
I mean, they are what they are. I mean,
well, I felt bad for Tegan Knox.
I do feel bad for Tegan Knox, but I'm also very excited to see her back on the indies.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to hear Bewitched hit at an indie show.
It just kind of felt like she never was able to meet her potential in WWE.
She kept getting injured.
And then she was paired off with Natalia.
Yeah. I forgot that happened.
Yeah.
Natalia's still there, but she'll never get fired.
No.
But other lowlights, I think... I'm worried. I mean, basically, my lowlight mainly is this now firm establishment that it's going to be 5-on-5 at War Games.
Well, you mean in the Bloodline?
The Bloodline one.
Okay, so
it just feels a bit like the 4-on-4 is perfect.
Oh, great.
You didn't need anyone else adding it. And if it's going to be Seth Rollins, I fucking hope it isn't, then whatever. And I've heard rumors about it being Punk. That doesn't make any sense. I've heard rumors about it being Cody, but you'd rather have Cody away from that doing something else now, I think.
Yeah.
You
want Cody concentrating on Kevin.
Like Cody and Kevin. That's the feud right now. I'd put the title on Kevin right now.
Really?
Yeah. That's my highlight, Kevin Owens at all times.
Oh, well, obviously he did take out Randy Orton on SmackDown this week.
Also, how good was that? A fucking pile driver?
Yeah.
Used in a write-off angle in 2024? That's fucking great. I love that shit. That's what I want. That is what you should be doing. None of this flip-over pile driver nonsense. proper fucking delivered pile driver. It wasn't the best pile driver.
No, it wasn't.
It was a pile driver. And yeah, and they've got it over his move. Randy has issues with his back and neck. We know that already. So it all makes sense. And Randy gets to have a nice little holiday until he decides to come back and do whatever. Probably when's he coming back? Post Rumble time. Get ready for Mania.
I think Rumble.
Yeah, yeah. So
I think Rumble.
Randy gets a nice little holiday. Mm. Owens looks like a killer. Everybody wins. That's my highlight of the week. Just a fucking proper old school wrestling angle.
But talking about bloodline wise, it does seem like whole of WWE at this moment in time has reverted back to the bloodline storyline since Roman Reigns has returned.
I will disagree because I think there's some very strong plot lines going on. You've got the Kevin Owens stuff.
No, I do agree with you. Mm. There's some very good plot lines going on SmackDown, and there's some good plot lines going on Raw.
The New Day stuff as well. There's little plot lines going on all over the place. So I like it.
But what I mean is that the whole of WWE, which means it's moved from SmackDown into Raw, Raw into SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
It just is all like...
Well, and this is going to become increasingly interesting when the Netflix deal kicks in. Mm-hmm. Netflix have pretty much demanded they want all the big stars on Netflix. But of course, USA Network are still going to want big stars on SmackDown. So I think you're going to see a lot of the brand split being dead.
Yeah.
Because if they want Cody to appear on Raw and they want Roman to appear on Raw, but they're not going to not appear on SmackDown. So you're going to see a lot of this flitting between.
And then that's the question that leads into what happens to the championships.
Well, I'm always a fan of there being one world champion.
Just one, no brand split.
Yeah. One world champion goes across shows. Also, shout out, good opening segment this week on Raw. Damian Priest.
Gunther.
Damian Priest is getting better on the mic as well. And Gunther actually selling some doubt and selling it well. And the fact that Kaiser comes in and runs his mouth and then ends up getting battered,
Kaiser can't hold up to what he says. Let's just put it that way.
I like Kaiser. I'd like to see Kaiser get some wins under his belt, but I get at the moment he's just playing the cannon for the role for Gunther, and that's what. But he's in a prominent spot on TV. He's doing all right.
Yeah.
Gunther sold the. But I love Gunther, but that belt shouldn't exist.
Do you think Gunther having the belt has established it more? Because obviously we had Reigns. Sorry, we had Seth Rollins, then we had Damian Priest have it for a short period of time, then we had Gunther.
Well, Rollins had it as a workhorse title, and Rollins just says, I'm going to have the best matches, blah, 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 and wear stupid outfits. That's the Seth Rollins title right in a nutshell. Priest
was short.
Well, technically Drew held it.
Oh, yes!
For 20 seconds. best reign. I think the belt got elevated by being in that angle with Punk and Drew, even though they weren't ever, but that, showed how big the belt was. Priest, obviously, at the time, didn't really, because he was still in the Judgment Day as a heel, didn't really carry the belt that well.
Mm-mm.
Gunther, I think, he's looked good doing it, but they had him lose clean to Cody. And you're just a bit like, well, so he's already been, you're already saying Cody's the better champion, so this is the worst belt.
Yeah.
Because this is what's stupid doing these fucking inter-champion matches. So I think you've got a belt that Gunther, I think, and I think he'll beat Priest, and he'll beat Priest pretty clean.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at establishing the belt of him after that. But right now, I don't think that belt's any bigger than the IC.
Particularly,
the IC title on Gunther felt a bigger deal than the World Heavyweight title on Gunther.
I completely agree. It feels like if it was the IC championship that we were talking about, I think that would have had a bigger hype. But even talking about the Intercontinental Championship, it's the first time I've seen it back on Raw for 2 weeks.
Oh, but also, high point. We're getting Sheamus Bron Breakker.
Sheamus Bron Breakker.
That's going to be fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolute just big lads. Big meaty men slapping meat. This is going to be good.
That's going to be an absolutely batter house of a match.
Also still the only title Sheamus has not held.
And he's obviously made that prompt point quite a few times.
Oh, sorry. And the WWE speed title he's also never held. The very prestigious WWE speed title, who I don't think we even know who the champion is.
Oh, it's Andrade still.
Aren't they having a tournament again or something?
Yeah, they had a tournament.
Right, okay. Is that for the belt?
It's for the belt. It's for the number one championship.
Right, against Andrade, who's been off trying to win another title and not even wearing the title on TV at any point.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, why is Sheamus not going after that? That's the real... Is that part of the new Grand Slam? Do you have to be a speed champion now?
I don't know.
Is Cena not a Grand Slam champion? Actually, Cena's not anyway, because he's not got an IC title.
Yeah,
but is Miz not a Grand Slam champion? Is Randy Orton not a Grand Slam champion anymore?
They need to give him the speed
title.
Speed champion.
Let's get Randy Orton the WWE speed title. For a belt named after a drug, it's somehow the least addictive thing on TV.
It really is. Is anyone actually watching the Speed Championship?
If you are watching Speed and genuinely enjoying, and no shame if you are, but like, are you, and why and how do you watch it?
Or
like,
it's on X.
But do you watch it religiously? Like, is it a program that you tune into?
Do you watch it live?
Yeah, I'm genuinely curious. I don't know what the target audience is for this show.
Is it something that you just flip in on X, where you know, if I'm on the tube, I'm like, let me just watch something. Or I'm on the bus.
The logic of a 3-minute match is just weird. Mm. When every match goes longer than 3 minutes, it's strange.
Whenever a match goes less than 3 minutes, I kind of like, what was the point?
It's a squash, isn't it?
It's a squash. Generally, if you do watch Speed, let us know.
is it good? Like, is it worth watching? Do you care about the title? Mm. Do you think anyone's elevated by having it? Like, because Andrade, they don't even acknowledge that he is on TV. Like, they should be making, oh, he's trying to be a double champion. I think they maybe mentioned it once. You know, it's like crazy.
It's ridiculous. You should be wearing that belt to the ring every time you're in on TV. Yeah.
But Sheamus going after the IC title, I think is big. I would like, I mean, even if he doesn't hold it for long, put it on him at some point and let him have that. He deserves to have the whole shebang.
Another highlight for me in terms of the week in wrestling, not apart from WWE, TNA.
Love me some TNA right now.
Watch TNA this week. I was so happy, actually. The highlight for me, there's two highlights for me from TNA this week. The women's division is banging on TNA. The women's division is absolutely banging. There was a tag team match that was happening. There was 3 women's matches in an hour and a half.
How many is that on the show? There's 5 or 6 on the show. So that's good. That's a good proportion.
Also, but the highlight for me was the X Division Championship match.
Mm, who was in this?
Moose and Mike Bailey was the highlight for me. It closed the show. I normally don't like Moose. Not going to lie. I normally don't like Moose and what he portrays. But I tell you what. Yes, I'm repping the system on this one. The match was banging.
I do like it when they occasionally throw a big lad into the X Division as well. Like, the X Division, let's face it, has the loosest rules of any title. What is it? Oh, you just have to be a bit extreme. What does that mean? Whatever we fucking want it to be. Generally, like back in 2000, I've been doing a TNA Plus trial, and I was going back to like the mid-2000s when the X Division was in its absolute peak. With Samoa Joe and Styles and Daniels. And you're like, Joe wasn't really an X Division wrestler. Basically, what the title seemed to mean at the time was, these are the good wrestlers. Like, these are the really like indie-style good wrestlers, as opposed to the WWE-style main event sort of wrestlers. And I feel like, I'm not sure why Moose qualifies as an X Division wrestler in any way, but it was good. I like the throwback to big man, little man, X Division matches.
It definitely was for me the highlight of the one of the highlight matches of the week. It's 4 spears he got Bailey took. 4 spears. Oh, it was good. It was one out the air as well. It was good. And
I'd say speared him out of his shoes, but Mike Bailey doesn't wear any shoes.
No. And then at the end of the match, we had a little turn from Trent.
I'm just so disappointed in Trent. I'm always genuinely sad when Trent turns heel. Because if you've ever met Trent Seven, he's the nicest man. Such a nice man. So whenever he turns heel, you're always just a bit like, oh no.
Yeah. Not I met Trent. Him at Download. He was great. Yeah, he was so lovely.
He's just really lovely. And it's a bit like, oh no, not Trent. But yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, TNA's hot right now.
It's actually really, really
hot. I'm more into TNA than I'm into AEW. I've said this before, more into TNA than I'm into AEW right now.
I give you my low light at this moment in time when it comes to AEW.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Lack of Gangrel. Further Gangrel. Well, you only give us 1 Gangrel appearance? What is wrong with you? You can't tease us with Gangrel and then never see him again. The greatest vampire wrestler of all time. It was him or Kevin Thorne. Who's better? Yeah. Gangrel, mate. Like, Kevin Thorne can... I was going to say sucker something, but he's a vampire, he's into that.
It is John Moxley. The whole John Moxley angle and his now Death Riders is what they're being called.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's talking about. He's talking in riddles still, and I don't know what's happening.
It's reminding me a bit of his, like, the end of his WWE run where he was, like, wearing the gas mask and all that.
Yeah.
And he was just like, what? Is he just got a bit mad? And, like,
Or maybe this is what he was meant to be doing at the end of his run before WWE went, no, we're going to fucking make you a little stupid.
Job everyone. Yeah. I mean, maybe this was the vibe and this is what he wants to be doing. But like, I'm not, it's not landing for me.
You know,
but
it's cold. I don't understand. Also, the belt is in a briefcase.
I was like, well, kudos to Moxley, I will say though, because he has carried that company through every sort of major hiccup they've had, whenever someone's got hurt, whenever the whole CM Punk. So someone needs to pick up the belt and run with it, even when they should be taking time off. Moxley's the guy they turn to. And they've done it again with this artist Bryan Danielson situation. So you're like, well, you know, let him do whatever he's doing. But also, at least it's, the Death Riders is a better name than Blackpool Combat Club, at least.
Sure. And I'm, was that? I was.
You're wearing nothing. Not nothing, but that's a blank shirt.
It's a blank shirt. I was wearing the Blackpool Combat to the gym today. Mm. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to buy a new one. Mm. I also, down AEW-wise, because obviously I will talk about AEW on the podcast, despite what Danny wants me to do, is the lack of storylines. We have talked about this repeatedly. There are some amazing matches that are coming up on Full Gear, but some of them lack storylines.
I think the problem I have, and we're going to talk about this on another podcast at some point, I'm sure, but the problem with AEW, I think, fundamentally, is they throw out a lot of great matches, and but it's like, if you don't see this one, then just wait for the next one. If they're gonna do Kenny versus Vikingo, or they're gonna do whatever, like, or Ospreay versus whomever, they're gonna do another one in 2 weeks, and Will Ospreay's gonna wrestle a really good match. It's good and it's great, but it's not interesting to me.
Yeah,
I think it's just another case of, well, why are you just throwing out everything all the time? Whereas WWE have this habit, this ability to tell stories and have almost season finales.
Yeah,
so like, we're building to this, and everything we're doing is slowly building to this. Whereas it seems like AEW is like, this is right, we're building to this match, and then we're building to this match, and then we're building to this match, and then we're building, and it's like, okay, but what's
happening after?
Why does it matter that Will Ospreay's won this match?
Yeah,
it's a bit like, yeah.
And also the turns happen so quickly. Mm. There is no explanation to them. Like, we talked about, obviously, MJF and the Adam Cole situation. Come out of nowhere. Don't understand. But it's the same with Chris Statlander. Mm. Suddenly, she's a face. I don't understand why. Like, she was a heel until, like, a week before she started challenging Mercedes Moné, and now she's a face. I don't understand why her music's changed again.
Everyone in the company seems to be like Kane and the Big Show in the early 2000s, you know, where they just repurposed Kane or the Big Show's heel or face, whichever way they wanted, needed them at any given moment. It was just like, well, you're a heel now.
Yeah.
Big Show turned heel and face on the same show once.
Genuinely
true. He did a double turn on the same show. And Kane, like, he'd just go away and then come back as a face, and everyone's like, all right, it's Kane, I guess.
Yeah.
Now he's American. But the entire company has that feel. It's like, there's no consequence. I don't care if anyone turns heel or face, because it's like, you care that Kevin Owens turned heel recently, because I know Kevin Owens has had a lot of turns in the past, but he'd been face for a while and people really got behind him, and then he turned and it meant something. MJF was like face for 5 minutes, then he was heel again, and no one really understood why. It's just give us something to care about. I think that's my main gripe.
Yeah, that's true. Two more highlights from the week, I think. Mm-hmm. I'll do one, and I think you can do the prominent one.
The prominent one?
The most important one. The big announcement.
Oh, well, you want me to do that one?
You do that one. I will talk about Joe Hendry.
Sorry, I was waiting for him to appear.
Say his name and he will appear.
Not today, apparently.
Not today.
I see that chair was full.
Yeah. Coming after Nick Nemeth's brother is
Ryan Nemeth.
Yeah.
To give him his full name.
The segment is so hilarious, and it's built up to like him being like, I've gone through Ryan's backlog, I've looked at his CV, he's done some amazing things in his career, I've made a music video package to show it off, we're all going to pay attention, and if anything, TNA have told me we're going to overrun if it goes over, plays it, and it literally goes, Nick Nemeth's brother. And that's it.
I like it as well, because Joe's always done these like massive video music things, and just completely undercut that and just go, no.
Yeah.
you're shit, mate.
And all the crowd's just chanting, play it again, play it again. It's so funny.
And you know what? And I'll say fair play to Ryan Nemeth as well, because you know, he's let that happen.
Yeah.
Like, he's let, that's a beautiful level of self-awareness that I think a lot of people would be sort of a bit precious about.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's good. And Joe's, I mean, Joe's great, isn't he? He's going to be.
He's going to be champion.
He's going to be champion.
I swear, 2025, I think, would you say he's probably contender for wrestler of the year?
Oh, that's an interesting.
Or what, best newcomer of the year?
Well, not a newcomer, is he? He's been around
but
time.
You know what I mean.
I don't know if they have like a breakout star,
yeah,
but
breakout
he's definitely
star.
The breakout,
say breakout star.
He's the
year.
Breakout star of the year. Is he wrestler of the year? Interesting.
Mm.
He's entertainer of the year.
Entertainer of the year.
But, I mean, it depends on who you're talking to. I mean, if you've got to talk to like the Dave Meltzer school of wrestling, then fucking there's going to be Ospreay in it.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know who's had incredible matches this year, no doubt about it. Or it's going to be, you know,
on
someone,
and off TV.
Or Sami Zayn or someone, or Gunther or someone like that. But Joe Hendry, in terms of who's created the most talking points this year, who's elevated their stock the most, Joe Hendry's had a fucking banging.
Yeah. Who's had their music in the Apple charts?
Mate, I'm just waiting for him to enter and win Eurovision. This is the next step. He's like, he'll get. I reckon he can win the UK's bit of Eurovision. Like, he'll get in the main competition.
Yeah.
Just if wrestling fans hijack it.
Oh, if you know how like we did that for the UK number one Christmas.
What, Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah. Let's do that, please.
I mean, I don't think he's formally announced if he's doing it or not. He said he was interested.
He needs
in
to do it.
But if he does that, that caps off. I don't know when is Eurovision. It's actually next year, isn't it? But like
May.
So he'll like, yeah, that'll cap off what's been
an incredible
run.
Imagine him being champion, TNA champion,
and Eurovision Song Contest winner. What a! I'll tell you what, you can say any wrestler. You can say fuck you, Dwayne the Rock Johnson. You've not won Eurovision.
No, exactly.
So yeah, Joe Hendry could be wrestler of the year.
Joe Hendry for the Eurovision.
Not just a highlight of the week, but a highlight of the year, possibly Joe Hendry, which is because I was never a huge Joe Hendry guy, and he's won me over.
I think he's won quite a lot of people over, to be honest with you.
I always liked the entrances, but for me, there was a long time when he's kind of, and then the bell rings. But I think his work's improved as well, so he's really good. But the other big highlight of the week.
Yes.
Is the introduction of a new title in WWE.
New title!
Which, by the way, in AEW wouldn't be news. Because there's a new title every week.
Yeah, yeah.
But WWE, for the first time ever on the main roster, are going to have a women's mid-card title.
Yes.
The United States Championship. Now, why do you, it's interesting they've gone for you in the United States rather than Intercontinental.
Yes, that's
given that the Intercontinental is WWE's title and the US title is essentially WCW's title.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine it's because the US title is more marketable, because the United States has become somewhat more nationalistic recently. I don't know if you've seen the news and about the world burning. I imagine that's why they've gone for the US title. So all those Trumpers can go, yeah, USA.
Oh, yeah.
And then I hope a black woman wins it, and then they'll be all confused.
Oh.
Give it Zelina Vega. That'll really fuck them up.
Well, this is the other thing. We have obviously talked about this possibility of this championship on the podcast before. Mm. And I kind of assumed we talked about them trying it out on NXT. I just kind of thought the NXT belt would have become full range.
I'd have also liked to have seen this crowned at WrestleMania and make it a big thing.
A big thing.
But I've did a little bit of research before the pod.
This is my question about it, and this is what it seems to be. Obviously, it was announced on SmackDown by Aldis.
Yeah.
And it seems to be just SmackDown, which is quite confusing considering two things.
Mm.
Number one, SmackDown does not have as much women contracted to SmackDown compared to Raw. And number two, we're moving into Netflix era.
Yeah.
Netflix era is going to go back to 3 hours. Why would you not put it on Raw?
I mean, I think it might be a floating title. I think, and I would hope so. But I did a little bit of research before the pod, and there are currently 34 women on the main roster in WWE.
Yeah.
So, and let's take out the main eventers. So let's say
Liv, Rhea,
Nia, and then Charlotte, Bailey, Becky.
Yeah.
I don't know if Becky's still there. So those will, like, that takes, you're taking out those. They're not going to come down and challenge for that title.
No.
Rhea Ripley's not when she's back. Mm-hmm. So Bailey's maybe, but I feel like you're relegating Bayley to do that rather than elevating the title. So you're looking at, so you're basically on, you're balancing, take about the main event, let's say we're dealing with a pull of about 25.
Okay.
And then you've got tag teams, probably taking out the people that are involved in tag team titles aren't going to be involved at the same time, so you're probably taking out another six.
Yeah.
So you're down to like 19. And if you are saying it's going to be just SmackDown, then we'll put it down to like 9.
Yeah.
And you've got a pool of 9 women going for it. Is it enough? So I think you do need to flirt across both brands, otherwise you, and then you've got to pull like 19 maybe. What I think has been interesting with women's wrestling in WWE always is they've become much better at promoting the top end of the card for women. But what they've never, but basically there's two types of women's wrestler in WWE. There's world title main event contenders and everybody else.
Yeah.
They don't have this mid card. Like they don't have the, but you're better than them, but you're worse than them, which they have in the men's roster. So they now need to, if you're going to have a mid-card title, you now need to create an actual mid-card. So people like Isla Dawn or Valkyria, like they need to be prominently, Chelsea Green, people at, they need to be prominently elevated above this bottom section, but below this top section. So, and by the way, my pick for winning the title has to be Chelsea Green.
Yeah,
If it's not Chelsea Green, there is no justice in the world.
Mm-mm-mm.
Like, she is incredible.
She should have this. If as soon as it got announced, the first person that came to my head was Chelsea Green.
I almost wanted to somehow accidentally win it.
Like,
somehow trip, fall, and pin someone. You know, like I want. But Chelsea Green needs to be champion.
Mm.
I'm really excited for the belt. I think it could be really good. But they have to completely restructure how they look at women's wrestling. What it's going to have to do is increase the amount of women's matches on card.
Yes.
Which you're going to need, because you need, especially if you've got to keep probably featuring the tag titles, you need a storyline for the tag titles, you need a storyline for the mid-card titles, and you need a storyline for the two world titles.
Yes.
You're looking at, you're going to have all those belts on pay-per-view, which they won't, because we need to do 5-match PLEs nowadays, but every other pay-per-view will have those four belts will have to be featured. So you're going to have to see a lot more women's matches.
Yeah.
Or, and I fear this will happen, they'll unveil the US title and quickly forget about it.
Well, this is the problem. I feel like they might start treating this, I feel like it will be a big hype. There will be a big tournament into it.
Yeah.
Whether it ends up being a tournament that leads into, like, say, a Money in the Bank kind of style match where the belt is at the top of a ladder.
I'd rather a tournament than a scram, like a scramble. Like,
how about a tournament into that match?
So you have, like, qualifying matches.
Qualifying matches into it.
I mean, maybe, but then you've already got Money in the Bank.
Mm.
I feel like, I mean, I don't mind it being a ladder match for the final. I quite like the visual of someone winning a title by bringing it down.
That's what I mean, yeah.
So, and I think that elevates the title. But then, if you're not going to have the main event level women in this tournament, which I wouldn't if you're genuinely having it as a mid-card tournament, then you're, no disrespect to the women working, you're going to have the women who are not as good and certainly haven't wrestled pay-per-view level matches before in WWE.
Yeah.
And you're going to get them to wrestle a pay-per-view match, maybe a ladder match, maybe whatever, for a title. I think that's putting a lot of pressure
on
people that haven't worked to that level before.
But also, I feel like it will probably give them the push that they need to elevate themselves.
And also, there's a lot of talent there who's just not because they're not good, they've not been utilized.
Yeah.
They've not had the TV time. They've not, you know, Tegan Nox would have been a great example.
Exactly. Same as Indy.
Yeah, Indy Hartwell, people that are sadly gone from the company, which I think, like, it feels like you're thinning the women's roster at the same time you're introducing a title. Seems to be. I mean, I get they've got budget stuff that they have to look at now because they're owned by a different company.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm excited for the belt. I'm apprehensive about how they're going to handle it.
Well, let's say hypothetically, there was a 6 women's match for the belt.
Right.
Let's say hypothetically ladder match. What 6? If we go across the whole roster. What 6 would you want in that match?
Ooh, interesting. Chelsea.
And then going across the whole, and that includes NXT.
Roxanne.
Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's how you elevate her. That actually, they could use that to bring her to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Piper.
Ooh, interesting.
For a mid-card title, big, like, you know, big, bigger than the power spots, in the, if you know. I think you need to put a big name in there, at least one.
Yeah.
Like maybe a Bayley, but I think it works better if it's a heel. So like a big name heel. I don't know who you've got in the big name heel sort of side of stuff.
Raquel?
Raquel Rodriguez, maybe, yeah. Because, yeah, you do live with one title, Raquel with the other. How many is that? 4, so 2 more.
Naomi.
Naomi, probably, yeah.
Because if it wasn't Chelsea, I would have said Naomi.
I don't want it to be Naomi.
just straight away.
Oh, no. And Lyra Valkyrie.
Yeah, Lyra.
Yeah, actually, I think it's a decent shout to win it as well. Because they gave her a big pushing queen in the ring, yeah. And then they've stalled her again. They're not really beating her, they're just not using her.
And obviously she was but they've got in the battle royal that she nearly
won. Mm. I think they put a lot in her. And I think, so she'll be, I want it to be Chelsea, I'd be okay with Lyra. Roxanne, I think, is to get promoted to win that title, I think is a big one as well.
Cool.
Yeah, just from off camera, we will say as well, Richard Wright has been very much fervently telling us we have to mention the boat.
Oh, well, in the six... No, we just hypothetically said...
If you had six women going for the IC title. Not the IC, the US title. Richard just said natty, 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 natty. Much like the band Pigs, 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 Pigs. Pigs. yeah, so...
Well, the hope I have for the championship is that how they do try and push it and it hopes to elevate the championship. Because remember, they had the pay-per-view... The one only women's pay-per-view. They could do another one considering how many women is on the roster.
34. There are 34 women on the main roster.
Right, you now. Could have an. We haven't had one in how many years? We could have another one-off pay-per-view featuring all the women, all the championships.
I'd be down for a proper one-night tournament. I don't think they're going to do that, but I'd be down for a proper one-night tournament.
Yeah, that would be great.
Won by Chelsea Green.
Like a big old, like, long King of the Ring situation.
Yeah, I'd like to see an old school King of the Ring as well. I just love a tournament. I fucking love a tournament.
Yeah.
You remember WCW did like that 64-man tournament for the world title?
Oh, that
was
great.
You had like real no-hopers in it, like Roadblock. I actually don't think Roadblock was in the tournament. By the way, if you've never seen Roadblock, what a gimmick that is, by the way. Just a man wearing a roadblock called Roadblock.
Well, let us know your thoughts and feelings about the Women's United States Championship. Do you think it should be cross-brand? Do you think it should just be on one show? Should it be incorporated with the NXT Championship as well that is on there? Let us know your thoughts and feelings. Also, who should win? Who should be the first ever United States Champion? Obviously, we're calling...
It's Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green.
If it's not Chelsea Green, then I will turn the gun on myself.
If it's not Chelsea Green, it should be Lyra. If it's not Lyra, I'm saying Naomi.
I think Roxanne being promoted is a real option as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I think there's several options. Okay, all the boys have just turned up to the podcast late. Yeah. But we are going to close out this episode. Please do let us know your thoughts and feelings. As always, my name is Sikisa. Please do follow us on social media, like and subscribe. I am obviously the head of the table, and I've been joined this week by lovely Mark Cram, Main Event.
You know what? You've earned my respect today.
Thank you so much. We've had a good chat.
Yeah, we've had a lovely time.
I've had a really
good time. The podcast is much better when the rest of them are on it, isn't it? I'm getting abuse from the gallery now.
Wrestle Club Podcast.
Beer and everything, you
a flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast. With Sikisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!